reprise de l'esprit, c'est à Chine.
Ah oui?
Un moment, je souffrais de la dialoxie qui est à Chine. Je ne peux plus faire mal. Il
faut se la rocher quand même.
Je ne peux pas.
Good morning. My name is Joyce Pickering. Je suis la vice-doyenne pour le programme prédoctoral de la Faculté de médecine à McGill. Et j'aimerais vous souhaiter le bienvenue à notre cérémonie 2010, Dr. Joseph Wiener, Donning the Healer's Habit Ceremony. We will begin with a musical prelude, and I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you to either turn off or turn to vibrate any cell phones, pagers, or telephones you may have. I'd also like to request that you not take photos during the ceremony, but will remind you that we have a photographer who will take individual pictures both during and before, and those copies will be freely available to all the students. I'd like to now ask Dr. Pajdan from our Department of Pharmacology to introduce the I Medici Quartet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce, Dean, parents, class of 2013, and group 7, the best. Well, thank you for inviting us to participate in this very special day to you. E. Medici de McGill String Quartet has been part of these events ever since it was started by the family Wenner. We thank them for this outstanding initiative. And we are doing it today. Let me introduce first the ensemble. Dr. Lippmann was not available today, so we have Thomas Quayle, a graduate student in the Department of Physiology and the first violin. Berson Augustin, Berson Augustin, whom we hope will be your colleague next year if he gets accepted. He's now an undergraduate student. Melanie Segado, she is an undergraduate student to be a graduate student in neuroscience in this university. Actually, she's going to study cognitive science of music, for which this university is very well known, Dr. Zatore. And I'm Ante Pagin, who occasionally gives you some long lectures in this hall, and who has great fun with Group 7, in a more intimate way, just like chamber music. Perhaps most of you know that we are members of a larger group, the Medici de Miguel Orchestra, that has now about 70 members. Thank you, Dean, for your support. And I would like to invite you to the first concert of our 22nd season, 7th of November. On this occasion, we have a very special soloist. He's an outstanding scientist from Rockefeller University, Seth Dart. And he is going to play Beethoven's piano concerto. But on the occasion of his visit, next day, there will be a big scientific meeting about the structure of protein, for which he is a specialist, and that much of the link between medicine, music, and science. And now a little bit of music. Wish you all the best, and enjoy the music. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted that so many people are here. We have guests in the Martin Amphitheater as well. Welcome. Hello, Martin. I think you can see them up here on the screen. I'd like to especially acknowledge the presence of our guest speaker, Dr. Alan Peterkin, and of the Wiener family. Welcome, of course, to family and friends of our students. You've contributed to making these students who they are today, and I know that right now you're probably just bursting with pride at the sight of them, and so you should be. They are really wonderful. But students, this day is really for you. You've worked hard over the last year and few months to learn the sciences that are important to becoming a good physician. You've begun to learn interview skills, to think about the values we need and the moral choices we make as we care for patients. And in a few months, you won't be in this lecture hall anymore. You'll be learning with patients in hospitals, in clinics, in offices. And today's a day where we reiterate that medicine's not just a trade. It's not just a technique. It's not just about being smart or good with your hands. It's also about your responsibility to patients and society. And when you put on your white coat today, you're saying to everybody here that you're willing to assume this responsibility. It's a big responsibility, but I think that everybody here, your family, your friends, and certainly everybody at the faculty, it's here because we want to tell you that we'll support you in any way we can to fulfill these responsibilities. And so I'm going to call now on the Vice Principal for Health Affairs and Dean of Medicine, Dr. Richard Levin, to speak to you.
Merci, merci, Joyce. This is the 10th year of this sponsored, wonderful event. And like any other great, important moment, it does not work without a lot of support. So I would like to add my thanks to those of Joyce for the Wiener family, so many of whom are here today, who celebrate this moment with us. And I would also like to acknowledge Don Boudreau and Joyce Pickering for their sustaining this event, and especially to acknowledge Dr. Alan Peterkin for joining us today to give the keynote address. And I would like to ask the Osler Fellows, members of our faculty who serve as mentors to all of the students, to stand for a moment of applause. Much of the traditions of Western medicine derive from the teaching of William Osler, who was a member of the faculty here at McGill and invented medicine in the West. And so to convey his name to a group of our faculty and to use that wonderful scaffold to develop our physicianship curriculum is an entirely appropriate thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Bienvenue, a very warm welcome to all of you, especially those of you who are joining us from the Martin Amphitheater. Hello. It's so... This is actually a picture taking place on the west coast of Canada, so there's a little delay. It's wonderful to have all of you here with us today. It's a great honor for me, not as dean, but as a physician, to address the class of 2013 and your guests, who include some of the people who are the most important in your lives. as Joyce indicated, it takes a village to produce and graduate a medical student, and so congratulations to all of your guests as well. Je vous souhaite la bienvenue. Ce n'est pas seulement en tant que doyen, mais en tant que médecin, que j'ai le grand honneur de m'adresser à vous, la classe 2013, et à vos invités, toutes ces personnes qui comptent particulièrement dans votre vie. Vous n'avez pas choisi une voie facile. It's not an easy path. But I tell you, it's a wonderful choice. The best choice you possibly could have made, for our profession is unique and privileged, as Dr. Pickering indicated. And the path that you are on is not in any way foreign to me. In 1970, I started medical school at New York University. There was no white coat ceremony then. After a few weeks in that first year, I received a slip of paper in my mailbox, an unceremonious, multiply reduplicated scrap on which was penned a request that I arrive at an obscure room in the old Bellevue Hospital, built in the early 1900s, through old corridors that were poorly lit. And there I was to pick up my white coat, and in those days, white pants as well. I walked through a maze of those drab green corridors, and I came to a coat room. And there was only one person there, an old seamstress at her sewing machine. She looked over her glasses and said, "Hi, Doc. Here for your coat?" She seemed so wise and calm in this role. She looked at me for a moment, assessed my size and shape, looked at the hundreds of piles of coats next to her, grabbed a starch one from the pile, and asked me to try it on. As she was doing this, she said, "Doc, you're going to see some things. Some things, Doc." The coat fit, of course. I must have been her 10,000th student by then. We talked a bit, and then to say goodbye, to usher me out, she said, "Listen, you take care of our patients now, Doc. You do a good job, okay?" And I promised her I would, and I left. The ceremony quite clearly has evolved appropriately since the donning of my healer's habit almost 40 years ago, but what this simple white coat symbolizes remains the same. It is the cloak worn by the compassionate, and today you will wear it. It derives all of its symbolism from you. Our keynote speaker will speak to this issue indirectly. As a complete healer, you as comfortable with the patient in pain, the patient in joy, the patient and family in death. You can make the most extraordinary difference in another human's life. Today you enter a world that is reserved for a privileged few. You have gained, you have earned your right to be here. And I, along with the hundreds of family members here today, know that you will do us proud. You will renew our collective privilege to wear the habit of the healer. So I say to you all, take care of your patients now, docs. You do a good job. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Levin. This ceremony is named the Dr. Joseph Wiener Donning the Healer's Habit Ceremony in honor of Dr. Joseph Wiener, a graduate of our Faculty of Medicine in 1941, and someone who exemplified the skilled and caring professional that we want you to become. Dr. Wiener also had four children, all of whom graduated from medical school at McGill. And for that, we need to thank, of course, not only Dr. Joseph Wiener, but his wife, Lily Wiener, who unfortunately can't be with us today, but who received her very own white coat 2 years ago. I'm now going to call on one of the children, Dr. Robert Wiener, currently an ophthalmologist practicing in Marietta, Georgia, and a McGill Medicine graduate, class of 1971, to address us. Dr. Wiener.
This is pretty impressive, I have to say. Dean Levin, Assistant Dean Pickering, Dr. Boudreau, Dr. Peterkin, students, family, and friends. It is such an honor to be addressing you this morning. This is the 10th dawning of the Healer's Habit Ceremony, named in memory of my father, Joseph Wiener. I am the second of four siblings that graduated from both McGill's undergraduate and medical schools. My father's love and enthusiasm for medicine, coupled with immense personal support from my mother, Lil Wiener, propelled all four of us into their respective specialties. Jeff and Fred orthopedics, Steve internal medicine and geriatrics, and myself ophthalmology. My father was a friend and mentor to many entering clinical medicine, and particularly relevant to this ceremony, taught second-year medical students the basic clinical skills that you're about to enter. When my dad passed away 10 years ago, we as a family wanted to create, in his honor, something really special at McGill that would embody his love for medicine and teaching. We met with Dr. Don Boudreau, accompanied by my daughter Jill, who at the time was a medical student at Emory University in Atlanta. We had just experienced her white coat ceremony, and the seeds of McGill's dawning of the healer's habit were sown that day. In previous white coat ceremonies, attention has been drawn and testimony given to my father's compassion and love for medicine. But now I'd like you to be inspired by another dimension of my father as an exemplary medical citizen. Now, what do I mean by medical citizen? My father volunteered his time, helping underserved patients, assisting students in need of guidance, and challenging colleagues who could ultimately improve future pathways of medical care. Specifically, he was committed to research in cholesterol metabolism and coronary artery disease. He published prolifically. He conducted weekly cardiology clinics right here at the Royal Victoria Hospital. He was a mentor to dozens of medical students, residents, and fellows. He took the time to teach. And all of this was in addition to his private practice, hospital rounds, and in those days, evening house calls. So now I ask you to fast forward and picture the time you will have MDCM after your name. What kind of medical citizen will you be? Picture yourself, picture the research you might be conducting. Imagine yourself mentoring students very much like the Osler fellows here today do. Consider volunteering your time in a community clinic. Share your expertise. Seize the opportunity to make a difference in not only your patients' lives, but also in the lives of your colleagues. Several years ago, at a previous white coat ceremony, Dr. Boudreau, in his closing remarks, beautifully suggested, and I paraphrase, that my father is smiling down through the clouds of heaven as he sees all of your faces here today. For this, I thank all of you, and Dr. Boudreau, I thank you. We pay tribute to you, the class of 2013. Welcome to you all, the next generation of healers, to your clinical years at McGill.
Thank you, Dr. Wiener. Our keynote address is by Dr. Alan Peterkin. Dr. Peterkin is an associate professor of psychiatry and family medicine and head of the program of narrative and healthcare humanities at the University of Toronto. He's a founding and senior editor of Ars Medica, the Journal of Medicine, Arts, and Humanities. Dr. Peterkin completed both his family medicine and psychiatry residencies at McGill, and while in his final year of psychiatry, wrote the first edition of Staying Human During Residency Training, How to Survive and Thrive After Medical School, a book which is now in its fourth edition. Part of the secret is to develop other interests, and here Dr. Peterkin practices what he teaches. He has also authored 1,000 Beards, A Cultural History of Facial Hair, and The Bearded Gentleman, The Style Guide to Shaving Face. He is a senior fellow at Massey College, U of T. Thank you.
Now I feel guilty that I shaved. Thanks, Dr. Pickering and Dr. Levin, Dr. Wiener, Dr. Boudreau. First, let me tell you what an honor it is to be back at McGill, because I'm so grateful for the training that I received here and the friendships that I made. Je me sens toujours chez moi ici. There's also an interesting confluence for me around the timing of this ceremony, because this week marks the 25th anniversary celebrations of my own graduation from medical school back in Winnipeg. So all this week in Winnipeg, there'll be various parties and so forth. I think wherever we are in our medical careers, that there are transition points that call for deep reflection. Am I doing what I thought I would be doing? Am I providing good care to my patients? Is my life in balance? Am I holding on to my personal values as I do the work of a doctor? I think your white coat ceremony marks one of those transitions and allows you to ask some of those important questions. You are donning a uniform, as many professionals do. But as we'll see, the white coat is deeply symbolic for us and for our patients, and it definitely has more than one meaning. Dr. Don Boudreau asked me to give this address a few months back at the launch of a book called Osler's Bedside Library, which is a book about Osler's favorite readings. He used to have a stack of books by his bed and would read them before he went to bed. And Osler had so much to say on the formation of identity of doctors, and he was particularly fond of students and was very sensitive about the journey they were on as they became healers. Osler was also a wonderful storyteller and knew the value of sharing stories. So for this in mind, on Osler turf, and as Dr. Levin did, I'll tell the story of my own white coat back in Manitoba. We didn't have a white coat ceremony. We did have a session very early on in first year where we all recited the Hippocratic Oath together. And I remember being completely awed by the sense of history of medicine and the fact that the dilemmas and challenges that we face really haven't changed that much over the centuries, despite all of the technology we now have. At the same time, I remember some of my classmates being really put off by the fact that we were invoking Greek gods and goddesses, and some of them remained silent. They refused to recite that part. Not me. 10 years later, on a trip to Greece, I took a 4 a.m. flight from Crete to Kos, where Hippocrates taught, and found the plane tree where he taught, and sat under there and reflected for a while. But back to my coat. I do remember buying it at our bookstore, so it wasn't given to us, as it was for you, Dr. Levin. We had to buy it. Trying it on and wearing it with a sense of pride. And I can remember that I and some of my classmates would even wear it outside to lunch some days. We were very proud. You know, look at us. We're going to be doctors. Abraham Verghese, and some of you may know him, he's a Stanford-based physician and a wonderful novelist and essayist, has called the white coat and the stethoscope sort of cavalierly thrown around the neck a modern mating symbol for young doctors. And let's face it, wearing the coat at the start can be a form of boasting without words. Now, what I remember next about my own coat is all the objects that I put in it. I had manuals, I had books, I had stethoscope, ophthalmoscope, all kinds of things, notebooks with notes and scribblings and mnemonics. And looking back, maybe I was sort of building an armor, trying to build myself up on the outside as I hit the wards. And I'm really struck, and I guess I'm dating myself now, that how chic and sleek medical students look nowadays, because you all have sort of handheld devices that allow you just to conjure up Harrisons or whatever it is without turning all these pages and lugging all these books. So as I navigated the wards, the shortness of my coat also identified me, where I was in the hierarchy. I was definitely in transition, no longer just a student, and yet I couldn't call myself doctors. Some days I wore the coat with tremendous joy and pride. Other days I hid behind it, using it as what's been called a cloak of competence, sort of letting the coat speak for me when I wasn't sure about speaking for myself. Looking back, I always felt the weight of my white coat, and not just because of all those coiled manuals. By the time I finished fourth year and retired my coat, it was covered in ink, sweat, and I'm certain buckets of adrenaline. Interestingly, when I came to McGill to start my psych residency, we were instructed not to wear a white coat because it was felt that patients would feel more comfortable confiding in us without that sort of powerful symbol. In preparation for this talk, I thought I'd review the history of the white coat in medicine, and I found quite a wonderful article in JAMA written by Valerie Jones, and it dates back to 1999. She reminds us that in the mid-1800s, science was becoming all-powerful, and a new emphasis on empirical knowledge was unmasking many so-called doctors to be charlatans and quacks and shady businessmen. Science offered new hope for humanity, and scientists wore coats which became symbols of their credibility, their rigor in the lab, their objectivity. Initially, those lab coats were beige, but by the late 19th century, when we doctors started to wear them, they became white and they were short-sleeved. In contrast, the clergy on the wards wore black, and historically, they were often present at the time of death. So the contrast of the black of the clergy and the white of the coat became quite marked. So what did the whiteness of these coats come to signify? There was certainly a sense of purity and hope. The uniforms were clean and infection-free like fresh bandages. Thanks to science and technology, the hospital had become a place to heal, to get better, rather than a place to die. White also invoked religious references to Moses, Jesus, the saints, all of whom were described sometimes as being cloaked in white in their roles as spiritual leaders. So since the late 19th century, the doctor who donned his white coat, and it was mostly he, was reminded on a daily basis of his duties and responsibilities and his commitment to the art of medicine, but more increasingly to the science of medicine. So when did white coat ceremonies begin? So ceremonies such as this. Believe it or not, there's actually a Wikipedia page on the white coat. So again, things have changed. It seems that the Chicago Pritzker School of Medicine was likely the first in about 89, but Columbia followed suit. There's a foundation in the States called the Arnold Gold Foundation, which emphasizes humanism in medical training. And they've been sponsoring ceremonies across North America. And as you know, and as we've heard, the Wiener family have sponsored this ceremony since 2001. My own medical school, University of Toronto now, has a stethoscope donning ceremony rather than a white coat. So, but whatever the ceremony, I think the purpose is the same. That is, you are moving from book learning and memorizing theory to the wards where you will encounter patients directly, participate in their care, work in teams with other professionals, and yes, you will be answering to the people in long coats. So I decided to do a little more historical sleuthing and searched for information on white coat ceremonies, and thanks to Google Scholar, which wasn't around in my day, I was able to find some very interesting papers. It's really hard to believe that we used to have to go and track down papers in the library. I'll summarize these concerns briefly. There's quite a controversy, particularly in the States, about white coat ceremonies. So let me summarize some of these concerns, and then I'll offer you a rebuttal to them. The coat harbors bacteria. The white coat was first abandoned in Scandinavia because it signified an authoritarian stance and underscored the difference between the doctor and the patient, especially in terms of a power differential. Pediatricians and psychiatrists have long abandoned lab coats to make their patients feel more at ease. The literature also contained a number of very pointed attacks on white coat ceremonies themselves, and these were particularly in ethics journals. Ceremonies such as this one were criticized for being quasi-religious and for setting up a type of conversion experience. The ritual, they deemed, was about self-promotion, self-congratulation, and somehow suggested that by merely putting on this coat, there's some kind of magical power, suggesting competence. Furthermore, students are required to, this was further criticism, they didn't like the fact that students were asked to recite or compose an oath before they'd actually hit the wards and seen patients and had responsibility for patients. They, in short, were pledging allegiance to something they didn't understand. So my reaction to these critiques was, ouch, I really flinched. As I read these various critiques, I had images of a white coat hanging from a ceiling and a projector sort of shining sequences of images onto that white coat. So it could be caring healer, cold scientist, pseudo-clergyman, arrogant so-and-so, gatekeeper of knowledge, etc., etc. And maybe that'll be an interesting art installation one day to contemplate. I also remembered the title of a rather provocative CBC radio show that you might be familiar with, which is done by a friend and colleague of mine at Mount Sinai, Brian Goldman. It's called White Coat, Black Art. And it reminds us that things in medicine are not always as they seem. This is not what I see when I look into this room. I see the faces of dedicated learners and caring people. I see proud family members, partners who have chosen to support you in your journey as you become a healer. These modern critiques that I summarize seem to attack a very basic human need for symbols and for the rich reflection that results from rituals. We all need rituals and ceremonies to mark special transitions, to affirm relationships, and to profess our ideals and aspirations in front of witnesses. As doctors and apprentice doctors, it makes perfect sense for us to pledge in front of our colleagues, fellow classmates, our teachers, but also before the community that we will serve. Healers have always been held in trust by the sick. The white coat should remind us that we still have to earn it. Some of you will find that there is a spiritual element in this ceremony, and your own work will be deeply informed by your religious beliefs and your cultural background. Others will do the work of doctoring with a profound secular humanism. Whatever your interpretation of this ritual that we're all taking part in today, the white coat reminds us that we're all in this together. Putting on this coat allows you instant access to a world where you will witness firsthand human suffering and human resilience. You will touch, hear, and see things that other human beings don't encounter in a single lifetime. I remember thinking once when I was a clerk that my beeper was like a teleporter on Star Trek. And I'm not a big fan of science fiction, But it occurred to me that one moment I could be in the cafeteria eating lumpy macaroni and cheese, then my beeper would go off, and I would be transported into another person's universe, their deeply personal reality. The beeper may have summoned me, but it was the white coat that allowed me access. The patients in those beds would then tell me, a perfect stranger, but a stranger wearing a white coat, things that they may have not told anyone else in the world. They allowed me to touch their bodies. They allowed me to participate in their life and death decisions. Did that make me feel all powerful and arrogant or even masterful? No. It made me feel honored, humbled, and often terrified. Then the beeper would go off, and I'd be transported to a completely other world of someone with a different age, race, language, or physical reality. I believe that you should mark all of the special events of your life as a healer. You may ask, what can I offer as a clerk? Even if you don't have the answers to the clinical problem at hand or a state-of-the-art solution to the diagnostic quandary, you can always listen, you can always be fully present to that patient and demonstrate that you care what happens to them. The coat is what gets you in, but it's your humanism, your shared humanity, that allows you to stay there and to make a difference. I encourage students to keep a journey of all your firsts during your training. As you go, write about your first delivery, the first time a patient dies, the first time you witness a mistake, the first time something you say or do makes all the difference to the patient. You think you'll remember these details, but you won't. Then I invite the students to take that letter that got you into medical school, and the letter generally was pretty idealistic, but I invite you to put that in that journal and read that every year, just to sort of as an antidote to cynicism. Tuck the oath that you're about to recite together in that book. I even tell students sometimes to consider rewriting their own Hippocratic Oath as they go on in their training into residency and fellowship. The principles will likely be the same, but the words will carry the new weight of experience. So take time in your journal, and it doesn't have to be a journal. It can be a poem, a blog, a video recording, a voice recording, something you do quickly on your iPod, to reflect on what's happening in your training, in your life, in your relationships with patients, colleagues, but also to those in your personal life. One of my best teachers here at McGill in family medicine, Dr. Sid Feldman, told me once, he said, "Peterkin, there are always two people to take care of in every examining room, the patient and yourself, you, the doctor." It seemed completely revolutionary to me at the time, because we were so trained to be stoical and to just sort of trudge through. And let me tell you one other thing. The white coat won't help you much at home. You still need to do your share of the housework and the other chores. So I wish I'd kept my old white coat. I don't even know what happened to it. It wasn't in the boxes that I packed up on the day that I drove my Toyota from Winnipeg to Montreal to start my residency. I wish I'd kept it, but I do invite you to keep yours. Keep it in your closet at home, or even in the closet of your own office once you get one. Think of it as a symbol that can change meaning over time for you, for your patients, for those who observe and even criticize medicine. Here I am 25 years on, still asking questions about what it means to be a doctor. And maybe that's the point. Maybe part of being a good doctor means understanding that words and symbols always have more than one meaning. Nothing is black or white or stagnant in human experience. This is a type of vocation that requires us to tolerate ambiguity, change, uncertainty, complexity every day. We really need to ask questions and challenge our own assumptions, even as we honor the history, the rules, and the rituals of this most ancient profession. So today, on September 24th, 2010, don your white coat with pride, pleasure, and a sense of both privilege and humility. Will wearing it actually make you become proud, dans le sens orgueil, or privileged? That part is up to you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dr. Peterkin. 2 years ago, Michael McKechnie put on his white coat in this room. He's now a fourth-year student at McGill, and he's here to give us a few reflections on his journey over the last 2 years. Michael.
Good morning. Congratulations. They teach us in the clinic that the mere presence of somebody in a white coat can raise the blood pressure of a patient by a few points. We're about to get over 100, so I hope everyone in the back is feeling healthy. I'm very excited to be speaking to you today. It's my pleasure to be here as a representative of the fourth year class, and on behalf of my year and the rest of the McGill Medical School, let me say how proud the whole school is of the class of 2013. Congratulations on receiving your white coats. Today marks a new stage in your journey towards becoming a physician as you move from classroom to clinical education. The next 2.5 years will see you rotate through the hospitals of Montreal and beyond, before returning to McGill to graduate as doctors. It's a time of great education to learn the basic skills that every physician should have, as well as discovery as you choose your own preferred area of medicine. It's time for you to become friends with many of the interesting members in your medical class. There are people in the class who've traveled all over the globe, people who speak a whole host of languages, people who've had amazing experiences. Being new to Montreal, myself, not knowing anyone in the city before medical school started, I've benefited greatly from meeting such interesting people. I've been lucky to find a wonderful group of friends here who I'm sure I'll continue to be in touch with for the rest of my life. And I'm confident that you'll do the same. Who knows? Maybe some of you here will find a future husband or wife in the class. You'll also meet patients, healthcare workers, and students of all other ages and backgrounds. Introduce yourself. Get to know the people you work with. If you bump into me in the hospital at some point in the future, I hope you'll stop and say hello. In the next few years, you'll have the opportunity to work at all the main McGill hospitals. You'll also have the chance to spend at least a month in a rural rotation. My class has sent people to places as varied as Kujawak, Tibet, New Zealand, and I'm sure that your class will be just as adventurous. You'll travel around Montreal at all hours of the day and night. You'll learn how to get from the Jewish General Hospital back to MacMed in less than 15 minutes without soiling your nice new hospital work clothes. But more than anything, you're going to learn how to become a great doctor. You'll learn to trust your own decisions, basing your assessments on your previous experiences and your advocacy for patients. You'll learn the importance of social support from your families, friends, classmates. And you'll quickly learn that no matter your level of medical expertise, you'll be a great clinician by demonstrating dignity and kindness towards the people around you. Trusting yourself is important to become a great doctor. One of my most stressful moments as a clerk came when I had to decide whether a little girl required chest compressions and CPR. Starting CPR unnecessarily could break her ribs and cause her serious harm. but not performing necessary CPR could allow her to die. There are no other team members around at this moment, and I had to make a very fast decision. I checked her airway, her breathing, and finding no pulse, I started CPR. It's moments like this that you really have to trust your education and act to best help the patient. You're a very intelligent group of people here. You're drawn to medicine by your desire to help others. McGill is a fantastic school, and it takes excellent care of its medical students, and the moments when you have to make an immediate life-altering decision are very uncommon. You know your limitations, and you'll ask for help. But if a moment does occur when a fast decision is required, and you must make an important decision quickly, you should have faith in yourself and your education that you'll make an intelligent decision based on caring for the patient. Your white coat carries with it the responsibility of making decisions. Trust your judgment, do what's right for the patient, and you'll make the correct call. To be a great doctor, you'll become aware of the importance of the support you draw from your loved ones. To care for people, to help patients heal, to improve the life of a person, these are spectacular things. In your neonatal intensive care rotation in your third year, you will take babies who are blue, floppy, not breathing, and help them become pink, active, fantastic babies you can return to their mother's arms. It's an amazing experience. It can be one of the most awesome moments in your life. But you'll also have bad days. You will. I saw an elderly patient die on my first evening call. I've seen children pass away. I've seen a young man who was in a motorcycle accident and had to have his arm amputated. You'll see death, suffering, and pain, and to keep all of this to yourself is dangerous and unwise. One of the worst days I've ever had was during a pediatrics rotation when a little girl died. I'd been personally involved in trying to help her, and I felt devastated when she passed away. That evening, walking out of the hospital, I called my friend, a classmate of mine here, and I told him to meet me downtown, that I needed a drink. I told him about the case, what had happened, and what I'd done, and he helped me see that everything had been done correctly, that everyone involved had done everything they could to help this girl. I spoke to my family that evening, and they were very supportive, too. When something goes wrong, you have to hold tight to your friends, your family, and your close relationships. The people who are sitting in this room right now, and the other auditorium, I don't want to forget you guys, these people, your family, friends, teachers, classmates, they support you. You've gotten here today through the support and love of these people, and you'll depend on their help for your continued success. The White Coat Ceremony is a day to recognize your achievements and a day to thank those who helped you get where you are. But most of all, to be a great doctor, you'll learn that you always have something to offer, by demonstrating kindness and treating your patients with dignity. I had a patient, a teenage boy, who had fallen and hurt his back. He hurt his back in a way that only teenage boys can, by trying to skateboard down the stairs in his house. He was an unlucky kid, and he got an infection in his spine. He got treated with some potent antibiotics, and these were administered by a separate team in the hospital, the infectious disease specialists. As a general pediatrics clerk, I would round on him in the mornings. I would see him every day. And we'd discuss his treatments, his interests. He loved the music of Johnny Cash, which I thought was particularly cool for a 13-year-old. And talk about his family. I saw him every day, but And although we developed a good rapport, I always tend to think of him as a patient who was being cured by infectious disease. However, when this guy left hospital, fully cured, he made a special effort to give me a present and to thank me for being, as he said, a great doctor. And I was really touched. And I realized that from his viewpoint, it wasn't important who had prescribed the medication, who had chosen which type of antibiotic to give him. He cared that I had taken the time to talk to him, to explain the situation to him, and that I had been kind to him. From the newest medical student on the ward to the most senior doctor, we can all treat the patients around us with kindness and dignity. And that's all it takes to be a great doctor. This is something that all of you in your brand new white coats can already do. You should be excited for the next few years. Jeez, I'm excited for you guys, okay? These have been some of the most interesting and most exciting years in my entire life. You're all ready for the hospital. You can trust your decisions made with the best interests of the patient in mind. You can rely on support from your family, friends, and classmates. And you can already offer wonderful care, treating patients with kindness and dignity. Good luck, congratulations, and have fun.
Thank you, Michael. We'll now proceed to the donning of the white coats. You'll be helped on with your coats by Dr. Don Boudreau, Director of Physicianship Curriculum Development, and by Dr. Namta Gupta, the Assistant Dean of Student Affairs for the Faculty of Medicine. I'd like to ask the students to please be ready at the lower steps so that you can come up immediately when your name is called. And I'd like to ask everybody to hold their applause until all the students have received their white coat. So we start with the A's. So I could have the first few people just standing on the steps here, ready to go. Then I'll call your names. Maria Abu Khalil. Hiba Abu Haydar. Danielle Aburbi. Kenny Alan. Iman Ait Mohammed. David Alcolombre. Stephanie Aloe. Samir Apt. Laura Arul. I left about. Okay, sorry, thank you. Alex Alkhouri. Archana Asundi. Arif Awan. Pooja Aisola. Vanessa Bacall. Catherine Bellanger. Tanya Banji. Kritika Bende. Danielle Bloom. Paul Brisebois. Joël Brisson. Marie Butendick. Maud Campagna Vaillancourt. Carolina Capel. Shama Cash Goldwasser. Daniel Castano. Michelle Shamoun. Jessica Shabbat. Yu Shi Chen. Larry Chung. George Christodoulou. Razik Kusa. Natalie Daniluk. Naila Debash. Julie Desailly. Catherine Dea. Julie Bao Ando. Robert Doonan. Alexandra Dubay. Lisa Dubrovsky. Isabelle Dupuis. Laura Eastie. Marcel Edwards. Christian El Haddad. Carolyn Elbaz. Lynn Elzier. Katina Faustini. Yeah. Adina Feinberg. Adam Fontebasso. Gabrielle Freire. Simon Garceau. Howard Gerson. Gassia Guvbashian. Tania Giannone. Tamara Glavinovic. Cedric Godou-Simard. Benjamin Goldstein. Natalia Gorlick. David Gruber. Daniela Guindi. Joshua Gerberg. Laura Habib. Deborah Helpern. Jordan Hooser. Daniel Horspool. Sophia Husseini. Matthew Highlands. Badr Ibrahim. Marina Ibrahim. Garud Iyengar. Marina Jakubovic. Eric Jaeger. Sohail Jamshidi. Cameron Caffey. Jonathan Kanevsky. Ali Kanji. Mihiran Karunanayake. Marisa Keenan. Patrick Kingsley. Joshua Klein. Jay Krugit. Andrew Cusick. Evelyn Kyle. Jean-Philippe Lacroix. Stephanie Ladowski. Kristen Lambrinakos Raymond. Alexandrine Larouche. Olivier Lavigueur. Samantha Lavitt. Alexander Lawandi. Lillian Fulin Lee. Ariel Lefkowitz. Liu Liu. Yogita Malan. Lucy Manchester. Maria Morano. Christina Maratta. Alexandra Marquez. Evan Marteau. Alex Matash. Catherine Matt. Cullum McCarthy. Joanna Medria. Danny Miro. Simeon Mitchell. Louis-Charles Moreau. Jennifer Moskowitz. Dima Mukaber. Stephanie Murad. Julie Nadeau-Lessard. Justine Nagurny. Tin Yan Tina Nyan. Stefan Nicolo. Jamie Oentoro. Ruben Ostrovsky. Marie-Pierre Wallet. Philippe Wallet. Sana Umamas. Philippe Pachi. Alexandra Panayutowi. Jessica Pearsall. Pavel Perchenko. Tan Tao Phi. Alisa Power. Catherine Pratt. Caitlin Prendergast. Karine Provost. Alexandra Prusha. Yvonne Tong Yi Kwan. Rohan Rakeja. Amit Raut. David Richella. Eileen Roman. April Rose. Ira Roshan Afshar. Evan Roter. Samantha Sachs. Philip Saleh. Claire Sando. David Sarfati. Chiara Saroli Palumbo. Avi Saskin. Elma Suraganian. Rachel Spivak. Sonali Srivastava. Etienne Saint-Louis. Stephanie Stacy. Sophie Stock Mazzino. Ken Sun. Mathura Thevaraja. Peter Thornhill. Natalie Trang. Kevin Tsai. Lydia Vizina. Gabriel Voisard. Phil Vortsumas. Georgia Vriniotis. Ning Nan Wang. Kitty Yujing Wang. Zachary Weinstein. Jeffrey Weisskopf. Justin White. Caitlin Wolf. Brendan Wood. Charles Yan. Ivan Yao. Alice Yu. Pierre-Philippe Zaria. Andrew Zaccari. Abdul Nasser Zayed. Nadil Zayadin. Eric Shang. Liliana Zelyazkova. Please join me in congratulating the whole class. I hope I didn't forget anyone. I'd like to now call on Samir Apday, class president. Say a few words and lead his class in the class pledge. Samir.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our white coat ceremony. Before I ask everyone to stand and read the pledge with me, I'd first like to acknowledge an admittedly large number of people. But on behalf of the class of 2013, I would first like to thank the Wiener family for their sustained belief in this ceremony and for carrying on the legacy of Dr. Joseph Wiener. And through their generosity, they acknowledge how important the transition is for us from classroom to clinic And not just for our medical school class, but they've done this for many classes in the past, and hopefully many more in the future. So thank you. McGill is very, very lucky to have you. I would also like to express my deep thanks to all of the family members, friends, and loved ones who are present. It is truly because of your encouragement and support throughout the years that we have even made it this far. We would not be sitting here today without your help. So I'd like to ask the class of 2013 to now acknowledge your family, your friends, your mothers and fathers, and anyone that's helped you along the way with a round of applause. Thank you. Thanks, Mom and Dad. And to Dr. Peterkin, Mr. McKechnie, and Dr. Wiener, thank you for your thoughtful insight this evening. And also, this afternoon, you know. I go to bed at 6 a.m., so it's hard for me to really know. But we really will try to take your advice to heart, so thank you. I would also like to recognize on behalf of my class our deans, Levin, Pickering, and Gupta, and Drs. Boudreaux and Slapkoff, who could not be here today. And all of our professors and Osler Fellows who have helped us throughout the past year and a half, I know that everything that you do for us, and everything you make us do also, is because you want what we want. You want us to be the best physicians that we can possibly be. And for that, you'll always have our gratitude and our promise that we will try to live up to that goal. So thank you. And also to all the other people who made today's events possible, and Briggs for coordinating, and the entire undergraduate medical education staff. And not just today, they help us throughout the entire medical school curriculum. And we know that medical school would not function without your help. So thank you. I appreciate it. And to some of my classmates, Ali Marquez and Amin Ayat Mohammed, for coordinating the writing of the pledge. And also to Yushi, Nyla, Dima, Samantha, Rachel, Stefan, Lucy, Pooja, and Christian for helping them in that endeavor. And lastly, I'd like to personally thank each and every one of you, my class, for just simply being some of the coolest people I've ever had the privilege of knowing. I'm truly humbled that I was even chosen to be among you. And I know that when we get to the clinics, you guys will always have my back. So thank you. And now I'd like to ask the class of 2013 to please stand and join me in reading our pledge. First in English. In accepting this symbol of the medical profession and the responsibility it entails, I pledge that I will be an advocate for my patients. I will treat my patients and their families with dignity. I will serve my patients with humility and kindness. I will be grateful to my patients and mentors for the role in my development, and I will reflect upon my experiences so that I continue to learn. I will approach unfamiliar situations as opportunities for growth, but I will recognize my limitations and not hesitate to seek help when I need it. I will foster mutual respect amongst my colleagues so we may collaborate to promote the well-being of our patients. We will rely on one another for encouragement and support, remembering that we are each other's greatest asset. We will use our knowledge of medicine only for the benefit of society and never to its detriment. As I wear this white coat throughout the years, I will remember the pledge that I've made today and the responsibility that I'm honored to accept. Et maintenant en français, peut-être un peu lentement pour moi, s'il vous plaît. OK. En acceptant ce symbole de la profession médicale et les responsabilités qu'elle comporte, je déclare que je défendrai les droits de mes patients. Je traiterai mes patients et les membres de leur famille avec dignité. Je servirai mes patients avec humilité et gentillesse. Je serai reconnaissant envers mes patients et mes mentors pour le rôle qu'ils exercent dans mon développement et réfléchirai à mes expériences afin de poursuivre mon apprentissage. J'aborderai les situations inconnues comme occasion de croissance, tout en reconnaissant mes limites et n'hésiterai pas à demander de l'aide aux besoins. J'encouragerai de l'entraide parmi mes collègues afin que nous puissions collaborer pour promouvoir le bien-être de nos patients. Nous compterons les uns sur les autres pour obtenir de l'encouragement et du soutien en nous rappelant que nous sommes là pour nous épauler les uns les autres. Nous utiliserons nos connaissances en médecine seulement dans l'intérêt de la société et jamais à son détriment. Chaque fois que je porterai la blouse blanche au fil des ans, je me souviendrai des promesses que j'ai faites aujourd'hui et de la responsabilité que j'ai l'honneur d'accepter. Merci.
Thank you. You may be seated. All students will receive a gift of 2 Osler books. These will be distributed after a physician class on a Wednesday. And all Osler fellows will also be receiving a gift of Osler's writings. I'd ask you to please see Anne Briggs at the front of the amphitheater after the ceremony to receive it. Thank you to everyone who came today. And as Samir said, and a special thank you to Anne Briggs, Silvana DeLolo, and all the undergraduate medical education staff, and to Leo Titero and his staff. This day couldn't help happen without them, and more importantly, we couldn't train these physicians without them. Maintenant, j'aimerais vous tous inviter au 6e étage pour une réception pour nos étudiantes et leurs familles. Nous espérons avoir l'occasion de rencontrer plusieurs parmi vous. And finally, I can't think of a better wish to end with than that which was sent to you by Dr. Barry Slapkoff, the Director of Physician Apprenticeship. Enjoy the day, and with humility, take pride in your accomplishments. Thank you.
I am.